We've been on our series on the benefits of resurrection, and I want to say that these things we're sharing right now are not the only benefits that we get out of the resurrection. There's so much more. But these are key things. Hallelujah. They're key things. Amen. And we did say that the first one is justification. I've explained that before. And we have number two is eternal life. Three is that we've been redeemed from all iniquity and purified unto good works. We are no longer in sin. Neither are we sinners. I've also said, number four, that all the promises of God, all the good promises of God, belong to us in Christ. Amen? They're ours. The condition for enjoying the blessings of God is righteousness. And we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? That is actually what justification is. It means that we have been justified. We've been declared just. We've been declared righteous. Amen? These things don't work except we believe. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? So, and number five is that the blessings of Abraham are ours now. What made Abraham great, made him to become wealthy, and all of that. That grace, that anointing, that blessing we now have in Christ Jesus. Amen. Number six is that we're free from condemnation. Seven, we have become new creatures. Eight is that we're more than conquerors. Nine is that we are healed. Amen. We're not trying to get healed. We are healed. Hallelujah. And finally, what we're dealing with today is we are anointed. We have been given the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you have the fullness of the Spirit, you are anointed. The anointing abides in you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the potential is in you. And all you need to do is to stretch out your heart and take it. Whatever belongs to us, any of us can take. Hallelujah. God is not keeping anything from any one of us. He loves us so much. He gave us Jesus and gave us everything along with him because of his love. Amen. First, let's go to John chapter 14. Let's start it from verse 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. If you love God, you will keep his commandments. Amen. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is key. I want you to underline that, abide with you forever. He stays with you. Even when you backslide, the Holy Ghost is still there. It's only if the person dies in the backsliding state that the anointing will have to go back to the Father. But he will not leave us except we reject him. Hallelujah. You can always count on him. And he says, he begins to describe what he is like. He says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world see me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Hallelujah. So I've read it all. Now I want to go into it line by line. Praise the Lord Jesus. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comfort. Now, this word here is saying, Jesus said, because whilst he was with the disciples, all right, he was the comforter. He would, if trouble comes, Jesus said, be cool, I'm here. He would teach, he would do everything to encourage them in their walk with God. And he is God. Now he's about to leave, because his assignment, as it has to do with this world, at that time was over. So he says, I'm going, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. That's what he's saying. In verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless without a comforter. That's what he's saying. Without someone who's going to serve as your guide, hallelujah, and your companion, and your master, your teacher, your rabbi, if you want. I won't leave you without someone to help you. Actually, what he said was that I will not leave you. This word here, used here, is like comfortless here means like somebody being left as an orphan. The word translated comfortless here in the Greek is the Greek word orphanos, and it means an abandoned one, an orphan. So he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you in the dark. I'm not going to, forsake you and let you be wandering about like sheep without a shepherd. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Like children bereaved of parents. That's what the Greek dictionary says. Hallelujah. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall live also. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the comforter. Paracletos. Hallelujah. That's an encourager. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. An advocate, a legal advisor. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He's our helper. Amen. He also would represent us in the place of intercession before the Father. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself, it should be himself, maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. What is this? When we pray in the Spirit, when we pray in tongues, as we're praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost comes, he's the one giving us the utterance. And so as we're praying, when there are situations, he steps in. That is what happens when people seem to be praying in tongues uncontrollably. They know there's an urgency of the Spirit to pray, and they keep praying. They pray, they pray, they pray, they pray. You keep praying. You don't get tired. You just keep praying and praying and praying until there's a note of victory. You just find yourself just, rejoicing and all of that. Oh, I got it, By experience, you get to know that I have that. Whatever it was, I have it. Because sometimes it doesn't always tell us what we're praying about. But we yield to him in the place of prayer. There are three things, there'll be more, but I want you to know about the Comforter. The Holy Spirit, he is God. He is the third person in the Godhead. The Godhead has three distinct personalities. They are distinct, which means there is a person, individual, called God the Father. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God, made flesh. Then there is God the Holy Spirit. The Roman Catholics give us the word Trinity, and they are right. Trinity is right. There's God the Father, there is God the Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit. In the beginning, in Genesis, God said, "Let us make man after our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion." What was he talking about? He was talking about himself and the Holy Spirit. Because at that time, the Word was in him. The Word had not been made flesh. So there was no body called Jesus. There was no, man with a head, hands, that was called Jesus. That man was in the Father. Alive, but in the Father. In John chapter 1, from verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God at the beginning." Right in there, in the beginning, before all things began, Jesus was in the Father. Everything was there. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Talking about Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Before the Word was made flesh, the Word existed, but in the Father. And in verse 14, he says that the Word was now made flesh. That was when the man Jesus was born. The man Jesus was not there. He was in the Father, just like you and I, being born again as new creatures now, we're in the Father in the beginning. His dream was the church, that he might have many sons. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Talking about Jesus. Amen. So he is God. Amen. We know also that the Holy Ghost is God. Hallelujah. He is the resurrection power. He's our comforter, the helper, the counselor, advocate. Glory be to Jesus. He's all of those things. And he is with us forever. It's a big deal. God is with us forever. The Holy Spirit is with us forever. If you're somewhere, he's with you forever. Amen. Glory be to God. When you pass through the fire, the Holy Spirit is with you. You know, when you're passing through the fire and you're sleeping at home or crying all the time and all that, I say, no, wake up. Pray in tongues. Pray. Hallelujah. Am I making it up? No, I'm not. I just want to show you something, because if we say something, we must have scripture for it. Is it not true? Hallelujah. In the book of James chapter 5, it says in verse 13, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Amen. Now, let us go to Hebrews. Number two here is that he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, the forsake there is important. He's an active participator with us in the experiences we have. When we're passing through, you know, difficult times, he's there. You know, you're passing through this time and you feel like, you know, this thing is crushing and all of that. No, you crush the enemy back. Every pressure, every time a child of God is under pressure, the devil is present. That's not a time to cry. When you pray, you are smeared with the anointing. The divine come alive. The real you comes alive. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do unto me. The Lord is my helper. Let's look. I like this story. So beautiful, wonderful story about a certain man. Because, you know, when we say the Lord is our helper, people say, yes, he's our helper. He's our helper. Oh, the Lord is my helper. No, because you're not thinking about it the right way. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at a man that God helped. Oh, before we look at the man, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. It says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that go with thee. And he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. That's what he means. He'll be with you. You see what he's saying? He's not going to fail you. When the Apostle Paul was saying this in the book of Hebrews, he left this little detail. I will not fail thee. When he says, I will not forsake you, I will not abandon you, and I will not fail you. Which means in the race of life, in the battle of life, you're a winner. You're a winner because of the Holy Spirit. They that are with us are more than they that are with them. Now, let me put it this way. Even with the angels, we have more. There are more angels than there can ever be devils. Remember that God is still the maker. If he needs to make more, he will. Hallelujah. If he needs to make more, he will. The devil can't make more. Let's read that Deuteronomy chapter 31 from verse 1. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He says, and the Lord thy God, he will go over with thee, and he will destroy those nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord had said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Shihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that he may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, and he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen. He will not fail thee, nor what? Forsake thee. So he is with you. Glory be to God. He is with you. So don't think that God ever leaves you. He never does. He never will. And God does not run from a fight. God never runs from a fight. When things are happening, don't be disturbed. When God sent you, and God sent us, in your environment where you walk, God sent you. It is your mission field. God sent you. And once you're doing the will of God, once you're doing the will of God, if people oppose you, God sent you. He has made your forehead stronger than the foreheads of your adversaries. So fear not. And it's important that you have no fear. When things are happening, no fear. Just say, we'll pray about it. I've seen some battles. All we're doing is pray. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it means also, I will not fail thee. The Bible says he causes us to triumph always. That's how come when you pass through the fire, it will not kindle upon you. When you pass through the water, you will not drown. Why? The Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is with you. The Holy Ghost is with us. He doesn't leave us.